Hello and welcome everybody back to another energy update with Suzanne. These are pieces and portions, I guess, of actual client sessions where they have given me anonymous approval to use their information so that I can present it to others to possibly learn from and or just simply enjoy. And I appreciate the opportunity to do this and want to say right up front, just, you know, toss anything that doesn't resonate because I'm not here to tell anybody their truth. It seems recently that I have found myself having some commonalities with clients, and this often happens in a practice over a dozen years. I find myself as a practitioner seeing clients that have similar things going on, and it comes in waves, and this has definitely been happening just recently. I think this happens because there's a lot of universal, you know, collective energies that work out there that we're not necessarily even aware of or pay attention to. And oftentimes when we are sending out what we would coin the bat signal to do certain work or understand certain things or whatever, like will find like out in the universe. And even as a practitioner, what that will transform into is the same sort of things will come up in client work. And it doesn't necessarily come from me as much as this collective field, you know? And it's interesting because I have been noticing a very big theme lately where I work oftentimes with all different kinds of therapists and as clients. And they can be, you know, abuse therapists, family therapists, that can be individualized therapists, that can be emotional, mental, and spiritual therapists, that they can have all kinds of different modalities. Some work with, you know, tapping, some work with biofeedback, some work with whatever. And so all these therapists are so interestingly coming forward. I have several of them and have for years, but there's been this shift that I've been noticing just within the last little bit here. And maybe it's just because I'm even becoming aware of the commonalities, but a lot of the people that end up doing traditional therapy of any sort, we're still talking kind of like mainstream therapy here. I think a lot of these people are being introduced to the world of energy. And I'm thrilled about that because there's nothing wrong with your traditional therapy, obviously. There's nothing about this that I'm saying is right or wrong. But I think that for whatever reason, more and more therapists, and I have a little feeling it comes from them doing their own work. I think that therapists, much like myself, have a responsibility. If I'm going to sit on this side of the desk and help others, I better darn well do my own work, kind of a concept. And I think a lot of actual traditional therapists are finding and reaching out and being successful at modalities of energy that complement their own individualized spiritual journey. And what happens then is it sort of activates what their soul knows in terms of how their soul energy works, how the bigger source energy flows through them, how they fuel themselves, how they feel good about themselves. And this sort of will ripple effect outward into their client base. And this happens with me as well. And I can work with any kind of a client, but because I am a starseed, for example, I happen to attract a lot of starseed clients. So this is that law of attraction where like finds like. And these therapists are finding their own soul connection and ending up working with practitioners like myself and beyond that are helping them to connect bigger dots. And I have been so excited to see this just recently in many different sessions. This particular one where I got the approval to talk about a little bit was a young man who is a family therapist, I believe, and he right now is trying to understand energy, how it relates to the 3D world. He's being introduced to the chakras, the auras. He's wanting to understand how this overflows into his traditional work as a family therapist, etc. And so I think this has been an awakening of sorts for him, and he's on a trajectory path that's starting to go, oh my goodness, this is all starting to make bigger sense. I'm starting to see a pattern within a pattern bigger. And this is oftentimes what happens when we do our spiritual journey. We start to go, oh, I think I know this and I understand this, but now I'm starting to see that that's only a pattern of a bigger version of that. And then we go that big, and then we get another version bigger and bigger and so on. And so this becomes an interesting ride because we start to understand infinite source energy really does exist in whatever way we choose to believe it, by the way. But it does exist, and it can interpenetrate and connect dots into even my family therapy. And so we had a really big chat about things like soul contracts and the Akash and the Akashic Library and records and, you know, understanding not only why he's here on this planet, but what he is here to do for soul purpose. And when he starts to get better at ownership with that, it starts to be able to seep into his practice, whether he's going to turn around and talk to his family therapy client about a soul contract or an Akashic record is probably not what I'm saying is going to happen, but he can start to quite possibly understand the difference in self-responsibility and self-ownership of belief systems and why quite possibly we came in with some of the situations and scenarios that we did, not only as ourselves, but as the people that we're working with, and see how we can offer and invite them to look at victimization and or control patterns differently because it's coming from a higher place. It's coming from a soul's place. And so I think this is super cool, and this is what's happening to this young man. And as we talked, one of the favorite things that I get to do in my job is to watch people have what we coined the aha moment. You know, Oprah used to talk about it, but I think the aha moment for me is to be able to watch, whether it's even over FaceTime, you know, doing a remote session or, God forbid, in person, to be able to actually watch somebody go, oh my God, and their eyeballs just get giant and their face just lights up and their head just is going, and it literally, in terms of energy, is connecting the dots of circuitry. It's starting to go, this all makes sense. I start to get this. And it's the most fascinating thing to witness, and it's one of the most joyous parts of my job. I'm never here to tell somebody what is their truth and what is right and wrong, but I certainly get to offer something and they get to ponder it if they're choosing to. But when that actual connection of inner truth happens, it is so fascinating to watch. And it's not just, you know, happening inside of them. It's happening throughout them and around them. And their whole field changes. And this particular man was, I think he's probably in his early 30s. And he just lit up like a light bulb. Like, seriously, like a Christmas tree, I would even say, because it was just like bing, 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 bing. And it was super fun to watch. This brought us into a deeper conversation, which I think is really important to bring forward. And I was grateful for him to let me share because he is not the only one doing this. This is very common also. And not just common amongst therapists, but common amongst many, many humans right now, is he is challenged with the breakdown of his God package. And I think that this is happening because it's happening on a bigger scale. What that means is many people right now are having a pause moment or a confusion moment or a disconnect moment with what their original God package was presented to them as, meaning, gosh, I grew up Christian, or I grew up Catholic, or I grew up Lutheran, or I grew up whatever. It doesn't even have to have a dogma attached. I grew up with this concept with limitations, parameters, boundaries, whatever, of what God is and looks like and how that works and how that is a piece of my life as a blueprint. And we're finding that many people right now are confused because it doesn't feel right anymore. We can equate it to that feeling of, I had my favorite pair of shoes all these years, and all of a sudden I grew up and now they don't quite fit. You know, I used to be a 9, but now I'm a 9.5, and I keep trying to cram my foot into the 9 shoe, and I'm like, this just doesn't fit, and I'm gimping around, and it pinches, and it hurts, and I keep thinking these shoes are great. And then I keep thinking, maybe I got to get new shoes, and maybe I just want to throw the shoes off, period. This is what's happening because, and again, in my opinion, the package of the God structure is crumbling on a larger scale. And this is not bashing religion as a whole, so take what resonates, like I say, toss the rest or don't even listen, because I know that there is many, many limitations and personalities and different positions and different ways that we are presented God packaging. And these, in many cases, have been fear-based messaging and programming. And many people that are awakening right now during this cycle are finding that that doesn't fit anymore. That shoe is pinching. I can't walk in this anymore. I can walk two steps, but boy, if I'm going to walk a mile, there's no way I'm going to wear this shoe. And we're kicking them off to the side. The problem is no one is cheerleading that effort necessarily. So it is then surrounded with guilt or confusion, which additionally struggles in the head, mind, and body, like, oh my gosh, now I'm really a mess because I don't know what I believe in anymore. And or I'm going to be really in trouble because now God's going to be really mad at me because, again, we make it a personality up there that can get angry. So these breakdowns of so many of our boxes are changing. And one of the biggest ones is the God package, which, by the way, includes the fear factor of not just God, but Satan itself and hell. And we are finding very many people are starting to go, I don't know if I believe in that in the way it was presented to me. And I say, good for you. Anybody that is re-challenging anything, I say good for you, because it doesn't mean you have to throw it all out. It means that you get to do exactly that, re-examine it, look at it, take maybe a piece. Maybe one piece fits, the other 10 don't, you know. It's important for us to choose, if we choose, when we choose, how we choose, to move into the examination and use our own individualized body, mind, and spirit to say, this does not fit any longer. And I don't have to be guilt-filled to do that. The problem is many of us grow up in families or social dynamics that have that support system, not just in me, but in all of those that are intimately involved in me or surrounding me in my life. And if I start to change, it threatens a bigger arena. And this is very common also, because lots of times then I will shut down my challenge. I will not listen to it. I will not progress into it further. I will ignore it, etc., which only makes it worse because the narrative is already started inside and it will eat away at me until I do something or not. And so these are things we get to examine too, is like, am I not believing this just because I just got told I should again, even though I'm an adult? If I'm changing, is it starting to influence my spouse or my children or my parent, and on and on? So we get to do anything we choose to in our lives with consequences attached. And so consequences don't always have to be bad. We may consequentially open up to a whole new paradigm of what that God package looks like. When we do that, it might piss people off, but it might also plant a seed in somebody else, and that's great too. But it's not our job to sit there and water someone else's seed. It's our job to cultivate our own. So this whole kind of coming into a new God package is another consistency that I see in therapists, which I think is a wonderful, beautiful thing, because to offer non-judgment in therapy is really part of the work. And to understand that there is no judgment in the God source either is part of the work, in my opinion. And so we have been kind of bamboozled and fooled for many years thinking that there is a judgmental piece to our dogmatic religion. And I think it's time for that to be changing. So many of these therapists that I'm talking about really resonate to what I would call the 2D realm. And so what that means is our second dimensional realm of our creational reality is the plant and animal kingdom. The first dimensional realm will be like our planetary system, earth, wind, water, fire, ether, the forces of nature itself. The third realm is humanity itself, our meat and bone bodies. But what's in between that is our connection to the planet. So that's things like the plants, the animals, the trees, the forests, the ferns, the clouds, the skies, etc. All that stuff has what we would call elemental energy. It's called the elemental kingdom. So when we're looking at flowers and ferns, for example, we have a lot of what we would call frequencies of fairies. Not that a fairy is going to show up right in front of my own eyeballs per se, because it resonates as an energy, which is in a different frequency that I will not see unless I have psychic skills. And so it's not that I'm actually seeing a fairy, but the frequency of the healing and the love offered from the fairy is very joyful. It's very playful. It's very real. So I can learn to pull from that 2D field, and I can learn to work with that as a fuel source to bring joy and balance into my life if I choose to. And I'm finding such an interesting commonality with these therapists, and that almost every therapist, whether it's family therapist, abuse therapy, whatever, they are almost all elementals. They almost all have their soul innately gravitates towards that second dimensional frequency as their common place of interest, of joy, of that's where they feel home. And so whether they are a fairy energy or not is not make it an elemental. An elemental can be all kinds of things. It can be a fairy energy that's more like a Tinkerbell flower one. It can be a sprite fairy. It can be a little stinker, pixie fairy. There's all different variations even within the fairies. So these give different wave patterns to that energy. So someone that is more of a Tinkerbell is maybe more go with the flow, joyful, childlike, but the pixie might be the little stinker and the one that likes to, dick with people a little bit and have some fun and kind of be that little brat, and yet it's still a fairy energy. So even within the realm, we have different frequencies. And this is what's so fascinating to me, because many of these therapists are coming forward and I am finding them all holding different frequencies within this same 2D realm. And this particular young man, he really resonated to what we would call the gnome actual frequency within the elemental realm. So again, it's not just fairies. We have gnomes. We have gremlins. We have in the ground elementals. We have the fairies. We have all kinds of different things. The sprites, we call them the undines. We have water elements to this. We have fire elements, salamanders. We have all different names and categories within this elemental kingdom. And this particular young man, I kept seeing during the work, all of these faces come forward and they looked like literal gnomes. And gnomes are not what we see, the Travelocity gnome with the red hat or the ones we see in Walmart to put in our garden. Gnomes, the gnome energy is very much about being in the actual forest itself and grounded in the earth. It's really the root system of the trees. The gnome lives in the root system of the trees or in the topsoils of the dirt. It is very grounding. It's very homey. It's a very stable energy. It's not like the little stinker sprite fairy. It's a very grounded energy. And so if someone has a gnome energy and they become aware of that, what that means is they start to connect the dots that, oh my goodness, if I'm off, it's very important for my body to get into the actual woods or the ground or the trees themselves. I can actually sit my butt down on the ground and lie my body up against the lowest part of the trunk of the tree. And I can, in a very physical, emotional, and mental way, and especially spiritual way, pull that energy into my body because the gnome lives in that frequency. And this sounds silly and trivial to some, quite possibly, but I'm telling you, this is the most powerful way for us to find our primary soul-related energy fuel. Find what one is yours. And in this particular case, it was the gnome energy for this young man. So I started to explain this to him. And of course, to a 3D family therapist that doesn't even know about energy at this point, his face was kind of like, what? Okay. And my deal with myself as a practitioner is I will tell pretty much everything that I get and let it stick or not. And it isn't my job to make it stick. I just offer it. Again, the funnest part of my job is that aha moment of him starting to go, everything that you're saying in physical words coming out of your mouth is pretty crazy, but my body knows what you're talking about. And bam, that's my favorite thing right there. That is the landing pad. Trust the information that comes through the matrix of your essence, of your energetic body, versus my brain thinks you're a crazy lady talking about tree trunks and I'm supposed to be a root system. This is what is so beautiful about this work, is that we don't have to try so hard to make sense of things. He went on and on to say that's my favorite thing to do. I feel great when I go to the woods. I yearn to go to the woods. I want to go to the woods, on and on. We'll find that verbiage come out of the person because that's innately their soul's place for their primary fuel. We are not all the same. Somebody might be that flower fairy. Somebody might do it by the water. Somebody might be a mermaid. Somebody might be, you know, the rock itself. Somebody might be the stars in the middle of the dark night. We all have different primary fuel sources. And when we have the opportunity to do the work to find where is the piece of me that fits in the big puzzle, where's the piece of me that can be so strong, so grounded, so fueled, so happy, so connected, so that we all start to find our own individual pieces in this big puzzle, and we don't worry about who else does what piece. I don't have to be worried about somebody that's a mermaid if I'm a gnome. I don't have to be worried about, you know, someone that's starseed and alien if I'm a gnome. We don't have to judge or worry. We just get to do our own thing, and this adds to the collective picture that's on the puzzle of all of us. And hopefully this is coming across not as maybe crazy as it sounds, but this is very important because this is fuel. This is our soul's chi or prana or life force energy. And it is each one of us has our own responsibility to find that primary fuel. We can still get fuel anywhere. We can still get even crappy gas. We can get gas that really, really sucks and our car parts start to fall apart, or we might not have any gas and our car is going to sputter and die. But the self-responsibility of understanding gasoline, chi, fuel, prana itself, and getting this vehicle of mine to a place that has the best high octane for me is part of the reason why we're here. And when I do that, it works on behalf of the entire picture of that puzzle, like I said. So I'm finding that these therapists are all different. They are all different elementals. And what is so fascinating about this is the elementals is in the 2D, like I said, the second dimension. The body itself holds the dimensional frequencies as well in our chakra system. And the second dimension in our chakras is the sacral center, which is our second chakra. The second chakra that holds that same 2D elemental frequency is all about relationships. It's all about feelings. It's all about our emotions. So go figure that everybody that is coming into their own when they find their true gift of therapy, they're working in people's emotions, relationships, feelings, passions, desires, anger, all of that stuff, because this is their normal fuel place. It's a direct alignment, 2D, 2D. 2D in the elemental kingdom, 2D in our body is the sacral relationship chakra. So to me, it's quite fascinating to be finding this kind of like correlation, and I'm thrilled to be able to assist and participate to awaken these very 3D therapists into what we would call the 5D version of themselves to offer more, you know, in the way of magic and nature. And that only eventually ripples off into the whole community as a whole and their client base. So it's a kind of, I think, a win-win. So hopefully you got a little something out of that. And if not, just let it kind of, you know, ponder. And until next, everybody, cosmic hugs.